We are here. Wearing our masks, 6 feet apart, filling this room with praise to our God. We are here. Thank you, thank you, thank you for coming. And each one who's joining us online. Every single person counts, every single person matters, and our God will bring us safely through, and we will see Him, and we will see one another, God willing. I am so glad to be here. I'm so glad that you're here. It's Memorial Day weekend. Last year, I was walking my dog in New Jersey on Sunday morning. Memorial Day itself. And I was out in the morning walking through the neighborhood, and I met a guy in the neighborhood that I knew that I would pass his house now and then, and we'd chit-chat. I said, "Hey, man, happy Memorial Day weekend." And he said, "Nothing happy about it." I was like, "Whoa, what's that all about?" And then I realized, "Did you serve?" He said, "Yeah, Vietnam." A lot of my buddies didn't come back. So I said, "Thank you. Thank you." Memorial Day is the holiday in which we remember those who didn't make it back. And if there's anyone here today who has a family member in one of our conflicts in the military that didn't make it back, would you stand in honor of them today? Anybody? Family member that didn't make back? Veterans? Would you stand? Any veterans here today? Thank you. Those of you who aren't there, who likewise served or know somebody who didn't come back, thank you. Memorial Day reminds us that the freedoms that we enjoy as Americans are extremely, extremely costly. Hundreds of thousands, even millions of Americans have died to defend the things that we enjoy in this country. And freedom matters to Americans. And freedom matters to New Englanders too, right? Many famous patriots hailed from Boston and points north during the American Revolution and the Civil War as well. Freedom comes with a price tag. Costs money, costs lives. Is it worth it? I, for one, am deeply, deeply grateful to be an American. And I suspect that you are as well. Our passage this morning is about freedom. The freedom of the Christian. Paul states in Galatians 5:1, "It is for freedom that Christ has set you free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourself again be burdened by a yoke of slavery." Christian, you are free. Don't give it up. It's too costly. It's too valuable. But what does he mean? What is he talking about? We're going to answer three questions. How are Christians free? What threatens our freedom? And what do we do with our freedom? How are Christians free? What threatens that freedom? And how... what do we do with our freedom? First of all, again, he says in verse 1, "It is for freedom that Christ has set you free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves again be burdened by a yoke of slavery." The Galatians, to whom Paul was writing, had experienced freedom under the teaching of Paul. Now, that freedom, as Paul looked on and wrote to them, was at risk. They were going to lose it. What was he talking about? Christianity arose out of Judaism. Jesus was a Jew. His apostles were all Jews. Paul, who wrote this letter to the Galatians, was a Jew. And almost all of the original Christians at the very beginning of the church were Jews. But today, most Christians are not of Jewish heritage. We are what the Bible calls Gentiles, or the nations. The word that is translated Gentile in the New Testament and the Old Testament actually means the nations. We are the people from the nations, not from the nation of Israel. And when Jesus left his disciples, he gave them the game plan for what was going to happen with the message of Christianity. He said the gospel would go from Jerusalem, the capital of Israel, to Judea, the region around the capital of Israel, to Samaria, which were the outliers who were on the borders of Israel that nobody liked and everybody hated and didn't want them involved, to the ends of the earth. And all of us here in Peabody are the ends of the earth compared with Jerusalem. Judaism in Paul, in Jesus and Paul's day, was a religion of law and a religion of rules. Hundreds of laws, 613 of them, I believe, as they count them, that are written in the Bible. And most of the law has to do with how to properly worship God. Priests, sacrifices, altars, temples, ritual purity, all of the things you had to do in order to be pure enough to approach God in the temple so that priests could offer your offering and your offering would be acceptable. And the other laws had to do with how the Israelites were supposed to treat one another. No stealing, no lying, no cheating, no coveting, no adultery, no charging interest, generosity with the poor, caring for the needy and the alien, marriage and family, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of laws. And by Jesus and Paul's day, the rules had morphed from the Bible to the traditions of the Jewish people. And this is what the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the lawyers and the scribes and the priests of Jesus' day were all about. For centuries, they had devised new rules built upon the rules of the Old Testament, and the idea was that if you kept all of the traditions around the law of God, that you wouldn't break any of the laws. They hedged the law in with traditions. And religion teaches that we climb a ladder of obedience in order to get to our God. And religion is spiritual slavery. The problem with this is that it's not true to what the law said. Jesus highlighted two basic commandments. You should love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you should love your neighbor as yourself. And love is not a set of rules that can be followed. It's an inward attitude. It's related to our affections. It's related to our mind. It's related to our desires. It's a myriad of small decisions that all add up to one huge decision to love God and to love other people. You can check off all the traditions and not love God. You can check off all the traditions and not love your neighbor. And everyone breaks the law of God. Everyone breaks the law and is therefore guilty before the God who gave it. That's all of us. We all break the law of God. None of us, not even the Jews, love God or love neighbor. We love ourselves, we dishonor God, and when our neighbors get in our way, we mistreat them. Honest Jews knew that they dishonored God, but they did their best, And dishonest Jews pretended that they did honor God even when they didn't. And they hid behind the rules. Some of them gave up trying, and others faked it. Living under the law is slavery. Living trying to climb the ladder of religion is bondage. Either slavery to the guilt that could never be taken away, or slavery to an image that you have it all together even when you know deep in your heart you don't. Religion is trying to work yourself into God's good favor. Do we still see this today? Yes, we do. You have people who are very, very religious, so devout. They're always correcting other people. They're always looking down on other people. They're always telling people what they should or should not be doing. They're always letting others know where they fall short. They turn up their noses at sin and shake their fingers. They separate themselves from bad people so that it doesn't rub off on them like the coronavirus. Their religion leaves them always guilty, and they make sure everyone around them is guilty too. Religion is a mark of superiority or of guilt. On the other hand, there are those who have given up on it altogether. They're done with guilt. They want to get away from all this old-fashioned stuff. They have tried and it didn't work. They are the honest ones who know it doesn't work. They see the religious ones on our high and mighty thrones serving up rules after rules, but they know that even the religious ones break the rules. They're just a bunch of hypocrites. So today we have the highly religious and the disenchanted. You know any of those? Yeah. Christianity is different. Christianity honors the law of God in the Bible as good. God gave the law to his people. They broke it again and again. They are guilty. The law is not just a set of rules to live by. The law is the very holy character of God himself prescribed for his people. They never kept it. They never can because of sin. We all break the law because of our sin. This is why Christ died on the cross. He was God's Son. He was born under the law. He kept every word of the law in our place. And then he, who had never violated the law of God his Father, was executed as a criminal, the execution which we deserved. And so, we receive God's forgiveness and we receive Jesus' righteousness, not because we are so religious, but because we believe. We receive it by faith. We trust that it is true. And when we trust, we receive from God all of the benefits of what Jesus does from us. And he takes away all of our failure from his sight as far as the east is from the west. And we stand free. Free of guilt. Free of condemnation. Free of shame. Free from penalty. Free from judgment. Free from the wrath of God. We are free. We are free to know God. We are free to be accepted by God. We are free to walk with God. We are free to be within God's family. We receive all of this mercy from God completely apart from trying to keep the rules. We are not God's children because we try harder. We are God's children because we believe that Jesus Christ has set us free. As Martin Luther King Jr. said, free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, I'm free at last. That's Christian freedom. What threatens it? Dave had to read this really weird passage about circumcision. Mark my words, I, Paul, tell you, verse 2 through 4, that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. Again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he's obligated to obey the whole law. You who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. What threatens our freedom? Here's what was happening. The Gentile Christians were from the nations. They were the goyim. Even though the Apostle Paul, their teacher, was a Jew. And Paul didn't teach them when he was among them to go back to Jewish rules. But after Paul left and moved on to other areas and to other ministries, Jewish believers from the area of Jerusalem came up north into the region of Galatia, started talking to the Christians there and said, "Oh, okay, you guys are followers of Jesus now. Well, let me tell you what you need to do. You need to be circumcised. Ouch. You need to observe all these rules of months and things like that." It wasn't just circumcision, but Paul focuses on that particular one because circumcision in the Israelite nation was a sign that an 8-day-old boy had become a part of the covenant people of God. And so being a Jewish person and having been raised in that tradition, they were trying to bring all of that with them to place it upon the Christians in Galatia who had not received all of these things. Religion is like trying to climb a ladder in order to be accepted by God. It's trying to work our way back into God's good favor. Paul says, if you go there, you're giving up on Jesus. You're taking the grace of God, and you're crumpling it up like a ball of paper, and you're throwing it away. If you go back to trying to work your way up the ladder into God's good favor, you've given up on grace. Religion, with all of its rules and all of its regulations, is the enemy of the message of the gospel of Jesus. The gospel is by faith, religion is by works. Now, when people first come to Jesus, they're so sincere. They're so excited. They're so thankful. They're so zealous. They would do anything for God. It's like falling in love. I don't know what else is going to happen, but my life is never going to have any problems again because I am in love. Right? Religion says to the Christian, okay, now you need to do this, and you need to do this, and don't forget that, and oh yeah, there's this to do too, and oh, I almost forgot, there's also this and this and this and this and this. And the sincere Christian starts doing all of these things and taking it all down, and soon enough, the joy is all sucked out. Christianity has become a list of rules to keep. And they either give up or they fake it. Christians are not Christians because of the rules that they keep. They are Christians because they believe in who Jesus is and what he did for them. He did it all. I did nothing but repent and believe. I was wrong. He made me right. I was lost. Now I am found. I was blind, now I see. Jesus had mercy on me, and I believe it with all my heart. I'm not trying to earn his favor now. I'm not even trying to pay it back. The debt was canceled. We are free. Religion is climbing the ladder. It's like having an endless debt. It's like trying to pay your credit card off by making the minimum balance payment. You'll never get there, and if you do, you'll pay stupid interest getting there. Going back to religion is going back to guilt and shame and failure. Christianity is not a list of rules to keep. And if you think that's what it is, you're mistaken. Or if you're living like that's what it is, you're mistaken as well. When religion sets in, a relationship with the living Jesus fades. And we look to our performance climbing the ladder rather than thanking Jesus who rescued us. He rescued us. Religion is what threatens the relationship. Now, if I've done my job well, you're probably already asking the question, what are we supposed to do? What are Christians supposed to do? What about all the rules that Jesus gave, like in the Sermon on the Mount that you're studying in women's Sunday school class? Or all the rules that Jesus upheld from the Old Testament? Christians are supposed to do something, aren't they? Verses 5 and 6 answer that question. For through the Spirit, we eagerly await by faith the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision is anything. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. He says that the Christian has the Holy Spirit by faith. And when a Christian believes in Jesus, the Spirit of God comes to live within our very being, and He gives us a whole new hope for living. We have the righteousness of Jesus, and we can't wait to see Him and to be transformed by His presence. God lives inside of us by faith. And until then, the Spirit is always reminding us of the hope that we have in Him. And it's not about the rules, circumcision, uncircumcision, right, wrong. The Christian life isn't what you do, it is who you are. It is who you are. Who you are will definitely change the things that you do. Because you are God's child, and God's presence abides within your life, you will transform into who you are. A person of faith is energized to love. Faith with the Holy Spirit produces love. We don't just do. God works within our lives. And what our God does is He helps us to love. There is this completely new internal dynamic because God lives within us. Because I believe, God helps me to love in a new way that I never thought was even possible. He changes me from the inside out so that I am empowered by Him because I believe. Not because I'm trying to keep all the rules and do everything right. Let me give you an illustration. A few years back, it was Donna and I were approaching an anniversary and trying to be the good husband that I was, but not always getting there. We planned some nice things for our anniversary. We were going to go for a really good seafood dinner and then out to a movie together. And some people in my church had advised me, we were living on Long Island at the time, that City Island in the Bronx, which is a fishing town where all the boats came in, was the best place to get a fresh seafood dinner. So we got a babysitter, we jumped in the car, we drove the 45 minutes to City Island in the Bronx, we got out the car, and I walked up to the window, and I saw the menu there, and I did one of these. How could somebody charge that much for a plate of food? So we went to the next restaurant, and I walked up to the window, repeat. And the next restaurant, repeat. And the next restaurant, repeat. And it was starting to get a little warm in the car. We came for a seafood dinner. We can't afford it. But we came all this way for a seafood dinner. But we can't afford it. But I want my seafood dinner. Well, then you have to give up on the movie. No, I want my movie too. Well, we can go back and get dinner at the diner by our house. No, but I want the seafood and I want the movie. And it just was not going very well. Finally, I'm back in the car on the Cross Island Expressway, leaving the Bronx, back into Queens, heading back to Nassau County. And I'm looking out the window, and I've been thinking about this verse. In Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision is anything. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. Here's how it applies. In Christ Jesus, neither having a great seafood dinner or not having a great seafood dinner is anything. The only thing that matters is faith expressing itself through love. So I'm looking out the window, and I'm thinking to myself, God, I'm mad enough I could spit. And I'm about to tank my anniversary. If you want me not to tank my anniversary any worse than I already have, you're going to have to help me. Because I don't even think I have it in me to do it. I didn't say that out loud. And the anger did begin to subside. And I reached across the center console and I took her hand that she wasn't used for steering. And we had a good night. In Christ Jesus, neither being right or being wrong is anything. The only thing that matters is faith expressing itself through love. There is no rule book for love. Try to write one. You will fail. The Holy Spirit can help us if we trust Him, if we ask Him, not because we try harder, but because He is good and merciful and He lives within. We are free to love. Jesus set us free from guilt and shame and endless doing by faith. And we love by faith. Nobody can keep all the rules that Jesus gave. You can only confess when you fail and ask Him to help you trust Him again. That is how we live in freedom. Not new Jesus rules, the Spirit at work inside of us as we ask God to help us, and He does. We are citizens of a new kingdom, a new nation. We've been set free from the old kingdom of religion. We have been set free, and the Spirit is at work inside of us. When we ask God, He helps us to do it. If you're struggling to love people, you don't need more rules. You need more faith. You need to see who you are in Jesus and learn to live out of that reality. Ask God to help you. Admit it when you fail. Jesus died for our failures. Keep asking. He loves to help people who come to Him. He will, because that's who He is. That's what He came to do. And that is how we live out our freedom as brothers and sisters in Christ. What is Christian freedom? What threatens it? What does our freedom do? Just before I conclude, I would like to ask you to fill out that Connect card if you have it. I think we put some in the bulletins in each of the seats, so we weren't handing out bulletins. And if you are here for the first time, I think I recognize everybody, but it's hard to tell behind those masks. We're so glad that you're here for the first time. Please, this is the way that we stay connected. We can also stay connected by doing the very thing, same thing online on our church's website in the upper right-hand corner of the homepage. There's a Lex Connect card as well, and our online guests can sound off that way as well. If you want to join us next week and you're watching online, please put on your Connect card in the sermon section, church and how many. We will be able to accommodate people even if we fill this room. We have overflow available. We just need to know so we're ready. If God is speaking to you, you can put notes there. If you have a prayer request, you can put notes there. And just simply on your way out, we're not going to pass the plate. The plates are in the back. Just drop it and leave it there so we can be in touch with you. In Jesus Christ, we have been set free from sin and guilt and shame. We no longer live on a success-fail basis. We live by faith. And we believe that Jesus took away all of our sin, and He gave us His perfect record, and He gave us His Holy Spirit, and that the Spirit lives inside of us, and He teaches us how to love so that we might become what we are, children of God. If you previously thought that Christianity was religion, a set of rules that serves like rungs on a ladder by which we climb our way to God, I hope that you've begun to understand the difference. It's really different. And it's so much better. It begins by faith, each of us setting aside our pride and taking up by faith the mercy of Jesus who died in our place. And I'm going to spend the next 2 weeks in this series as we finish up explaining how further the Holy Spirit teaches us to love. So keep coming back because we finally can. Woohoo! Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, it is so good to be here. It is so good to be in possession of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is so good to know that we're not here and we don't stand before you because we've succeeded or failed. We've all failed. But we are here in Jesus Christ by faith with the help of your Spirit. Strengthen us as we go forth to live out of the glory of what you've done for us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.